Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast. My name is Emmett Mann. Rate, review, and subscribe on all your podcast platforms, the podcast platform of your choosing, and on YouTube. Like, subscribe there as well. Lots of fun stuff happening on that channel, including this video with Harp Graywall at 3C Training on Twitter. We're going to talk Scotty Barnes, man. But first, how are you? How's your summer going?
It's great, man. I've been really busy with training and just content and watching a lot of film and getting ready for the NBA season, which will be starting up here very soon.
Very good. Ball don't stop. Man, Toronto had a huge event. Now another one in Vancouver, and I believe you went to that too, right?
Yeah. No, it was a great event, great atmosphere. It's great for the city of Vancouver, where the Raptors will be coming soon here too. So it's great for high-level basketball to be played, and especially in Vancouver.
What was the atmosphere like? What did you see there? Anything that really stood out? I mean, there was some great talent there, that's for sure.
Yeah, just the fans. There's only standing room. You know, even for a guy like Payne Pritchard, you're not talking about a mega all-star. So selling that out with 3,000 people with just Payne Pritchard and Isaiah Thomas is special. It shows that there's, in Canada, basketball is getting bigger and bigger.
That was a great event, and I'm just looking forward to more of those happening, getting the people of the fans of basketball in Canada, getting them together to watch some like truly elite stuff. And we don't have enough of those events. I mean, all the pro-ams that happen in the States, I just want to see more of that happen in Canada. Vancouver is a stop. Toronto is typically a stop. Let's get something in Edmonton. Let's get something in Halifax. Let's just keep it going because it's all good for the game. But yes, Scotty Barnes. So the people have heard me talk about Scotty a lot. I've done videos during the offseason about him, where he's going to be, where he's going to, what things might look like under Darko Rajkovic. But I want to hear your thoughts. Where did you think he succeeded last season compared to his rookie year, which you can call it a down year if you want to, but I still think there was some progression.
I think last year was a great learning year for Scotty Barnes. Yeah. You know, being the guy and looking around and being like, I got to step up. You know, obviously, a lot of his percentages, even shooting everything, went down.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But I think it was a great awareness year for him to think like, I have to take that next step forward, and the window to do that in the NBA is very small. So I think this offseason, he probably felt a little bit more pressure and thinking, it's go time now, because that window is very small to be an NBA player and then be that all-star, which I think the Raptor fans have been waiting for.
100%. And, year three does typically define players just a little bit, not to the most extent. But, I mean, now Fred VanVleet is gone. Obviously, usage throughout the team is going to look a little bit different. They brought in Dennis Schroeder, but that Yak and Fred pick and roll last season, once they got Yak, that did kind of take over like the bulk of what their offense was. They were working out of it, but now, I mean, it's not going to be as potent, and we'll get to some of that stuff in a second here. But this move, it did signal a little bit that, an OG Anunoby, a Scotty Barnes, a Gary Trent Jr., who's going to be in a contract year, a Pascal Siakam, we'll see what happens with him, but things are going to look very different for the Raptors, also along with having a different coach in Darko. But just for some of the numbers, he did have a 5% jump in his assist percentage, which was great. His usage went up a few notches. His points per shot attempt dipped. His rim field goal percentage dipped. But the Raptors were with him on the court, which was a bit of a contrast from his rookie year, where the numbers were a little bit up and down, but there was no doubt that last season they were better when he was on the court. Offensively, defensively, they were much better in transition. And, you know, his defense, which again, we're going to get to in a second, it's a bit up and down, but there were moments where he was taking over games. I think of that Chicago game, not the play-in game, but earlier on the season when, you know, fourth quarter Scotty, it became a bit of a mantra. He comes in and he's just taking over the game. He's everywhere on the court, off ball blocks, guarding the other team's best players, taking on DeMar DeRozan, taking on Jaren Jackson. He was doing that. So there's more upside there with Scotty Barnes. And I mean, overall, for a lot of Raptors last season, it was a down year, whether for it was Fred VanVleet or Gary or OG, even Pascal might be the only guy that actually took an uptick in his production. Even that was a bit slow. So I'm looking forward to just seeing a different identity, a different system. And with that, I mean, it's going to look a little bit different for Scotty too. So areas of improvement, let's start there, because there are some flaws, if you want to call that, but I mean, a third year player, everyone has flaws, but where would you point to like areas that this probably has to get better for him to reach a different level in his NBA production?
Yeah, I feel like he has to be able to shoot the ball not very high, but he has to be able to shoot that ball at a decent percentage, because it's going to keep the defense honest. You got to be able to shoot. You got to be able to spread it out. I think he's going to have to add a mid-post game. You know, if you look at Kawhi Leonard, you look at the guys that play for the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan, that mid-post game opens up the game a lot. Spacing-wise, you got Grady Dick. You got some good shooters. If he can start to score at a higher efficiency and score and attract attention with doubles, it's going to open up the game. Right now, do you double him? I don't know. He averaged 15 the last 2 years. I think he's going to have to hit that 20 mark to get that attention. You know, like you said, though, he's a good passer. So if you put him in these situations and people are like, we can't stop him now, he's scoring at a high rate, then you're going to – his passing ability is there. Like you said, we've seen it last 2 years. His IQ is very high for his height and his size.
Yeah.
So I feel like that shooting, the mid-post, and even attacking left. I don't see him going left as much as I do right. And that limits you when you're going to the rim.
When you say shooting, because it's fair to say, but shooting is so broad, especially for someone that isn't a natural shooter. And, you know, the shooter he is now isn't going to be the same shooter he is 3 years from now. But are there certain shots that you feel like he has to get better at?
The big thing is this catch and shoot. Shoot that at a high percentage so you can stretch the floor and have some versatility in the mid post. You know, a little jab shot. You know, nothing too much. He doesn't have to, like you said, it's a long game. You know, maybe by year 5-6, he adds in a little, you know, a fade, you know, that's consistent. But right now, just a jab shot, you know, when he short rolls, you can hit that Joel Embiid shot right at that free throw line, the nail. So stuff, not too much. Just has to get that. He has to get to 20, I think, though, per game.
Yeah. And, you know, a better shot would probably do that. He shot 31% on catch and shoot threes last season, and 135 of those shots, they were without a defender at least 6 feet from him. That's a lot of shots, and they were giving them to him, right? And we all remember those games where teams are just letting him shoot because they want to continue to crowd the paint. And that's an area that he has to be successful for the Raptors to be successful, because the spacing might be even more limited, out pending, you know. With this team in this upcoming season, I think his pull-up shot has to get a little bit better. His pull-up shooting from the mid-range, his mid-range overall in the last 17 games, I did some content around that towards the end of the season, but he shot 42.5% overall in the mid-range in the last 17 games, which was a 10% jump from his season average, which was good. And those shots, it was a mixed bag. But some of those shots were, you know, when Jakob Poeltl's there, he's running some screen and roll with them, and he's hitting that 18-footer. That shot right there, teams are going to go under on screens regardless, right? But can you make them pay a little bit? Can you make them think a little bit? Can you make them change their coverages ever so slightly? And that would be a huge thing for him. But pull-up shooting, like, in general, I think is going to be very good for him. I mean, he has some success with the 1-2 dribble pull-ups in transition. That was something that really stood out to me looking at some of the film. And then Yeah, it's kind of those two shots right there. The 1-2 dribble into a pull up, the face up game, which we can talk about it now too. He doesn't have much of a face up game necessarily. Mm. Like he kind of diverts to post ups a lot. And that may not be, you know, his strong suit overall, right? Having a face up game, because he doesn't really have that kind of build or strength to do that. Speed to do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know for sure. I agree with that for sure, that his face-up game is weak. But he might not need it if he can start stretching that floor. Like you said, if defense is going under and he can just get into that shot and shoot it. Because right now, teams are going under and he's just missing.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's tough to really expand.
Mm. With his face-up game, though, is there something that he can do to – just level it up just a little bit. I mean, the bulk he has, like even Giannis, he's not Giannis necessarily with the the build and strength and the physicality. And he's not, you know, John Morant, obviously with the speed, but he's, you know, he's a bit in the middle. And obviously his ball handling has to get a little bit more confident because that contributes to speed. But in the off season, what do you think he's working on to become a better driver?
I think quick moves to the basket, you know, like an in and out. He needs one move just to shift the defense so they're on the side of his body. You know, once he has them on their hip, it's kind of over because he's strong. Mm-hmm. He's a wide frame. So, you know, just quick moves, crossovers, in and outs, get the body shifting of the defense and just be at his pace, at his control. He can shoot over guys too. I don't think he's truly tapped into his potential as a player, because I don't even think he knows fully that with his size, 7'3" wingspan,
it's
he doesn't know that he can just shoot over guys, you know. And that's where guys like Durant and all these guys have mastered the, you know, fades and all this, just because of their form changes in the mid post a little bit too. There should be no problem for him getting a shot off.
I mean, we've seen it, man. Like he's hit shots over Kevin Durant. He's hit shots over like Kristaps Porzingis in the mid range. And clearly he's got the wingspan. He's got the height to do it. It's kind of about, you know, initiating that contact and ensuring you're going straight up. You're not fading too much. You're getting good gather with your shot. You're getting power from your legs. You're generating that. Like these all kind of go hand in hand and making sure that your stroke is smooth and it's fluid and it feels natural for you. But I mean, Scotty right now, that's going to be a challenge for him. He does, when he does do face ups and the angle does get cut off, what he likes to do is he diverts to bully ball naturally, right?
Yeah. So
it's a bump into a step back shot, which is fair. And as we're talking about, you know, maybe the face up game, those single line drives won't necessarily be his strong suit. Mm-hmm. I think he can do that, you know, playing off the catch a little bit. You know, if he's not going to take the catch and shoot three, maybe he's able to read an angle as the ball's coming. And now he's able to have a nice little fluid path to the rim. Like that could be up his, up his alley. But, you know, ball handling into a drive, that might be a tough one for him.
For sure. I think it's hard for him also right now because teams are playing him so far back that when he is attacking, he's running into defenses. So if the defense was honest and say he was shooting okay from three, like 34, 35, and the scout was, we got to contest, then it's easier to blow by guys with one dribble, get to the rim for the shot fake.
Sure. So how do the Raptors and Darko get the best out of him next season? Assuming that there isn't a dramatic leap in his skill set in any which area, like, you know, his pull-up three, his catch-and-shoot three, his driving ability, all those kind of stay similar but a little bit better. So how does Darko get more out of Scotty with his usage likely going up? What do you think?
I feel his IQ is very high. So if you put him in those ball screen situations and you don't give him the role as a playmaker as much, but you let him facilitate and let his IQ work and let the points come naturally, I think that would be really good. So a lot of high ball.
And he's a screener?
Screener and coming off the screen too.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like a Jokic role.
Yeah.
Because Jokic does well, you know, when he comes off the screen too. They've been doing that a lot with the Nuggets this year.
That was fun to watch in the playoffs too.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think Scotty has...
He's coming off pin down. Sorry, but like Jokic was coming off pin downs. It's crazy.
And I don't see why, you know, Scotty can do that. Scotty can come off pin downs. He's versatile. I don't think and like we know he can pass that ball. If I think anything of Scotty, I know that he's a good passer for his size.
Yeah.
So and that's not even fully tapped. I don't think he knows, you know, coming off that pin down or coming off that ball screen, being able to make those reads at a high level.
Mm.
So I think passing is for sure. Also, a couple sets you can probably run is, you know, get him in the mid post, let him go right in there instead of bully ball. You know, get him set, put him in the paint on the first block, and let him do his job. You know,
we'll get back to that in a second. I wanted to touch on the pick and roll for a second, because as I've said, you know, teams are going to go under on screens, and for me, you know, looking at where he is, it's high ball screens. It's getting him momentum going towards the basket. It's re-screens. It's changing the angles. It's getting kind of funky with it. And so that way you give him an inch, just an inch to create that edge. And then from there, he's able to perhaps get downhill. And he's got like this one-handed runner that he was experimenting with that looked pretty nice. And then if anything, again, if the spacing is there, and spacing will be a problem for the Toronto Raptors this season, once again, then he can parlay it into a post up, and he's able to use his hook shot or something like that. But are there other ways that they can help him be more successful in the pick and roll?
I think they could make him as a pop man also, you know, get him as a pop man, and the big has to really come out. But like I said, the shooting is going to be a key thing. If he can hit a couple of shots early on next year, I think it's going to open up his game so much where he's going to take that leap from to that all-star level, I feel.
Yeah.
You know, because then you can versatile. Then you can put him as a pop guy, and they're going to have to show.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't show, that's an open three every time.
Yeah.
You know, you see it with Jokic and you see it with Embiid. They shoot the three, but the three, then if they play him close, then it opens up everything. Then it opens up the mid-range, then it opens up the drives. And he doesn't have to do it too much when he's driving. It's going to be a shot fake, one dribble, get to the rim.
Yeah.
But until then, it's going to, like you said, they're going to go under. He can use the re-screen to try to, you know, get to that rim and create that separation. But it'll be very hard still. They're going to have to keep utilizing him in that way. And I think the spacing will get better this year with the new coach. I feel for sure, yeah. The European style, they value spacing more than anything.
Mm. I think it'll get better too, or at least the motion will be better within the roster. I think there will be a better player movement. I'm curious how he does that, because it seems to me that the system and what players are asked to do within a possession is going to be really different for them. And how quickly are they able to adapt to that, accept it, and kind of roll with it? Because if it is firing all cylinders, you know, there's something there, I think. It may not be like a top 10 offense, but it could be, you know, in the 15 to 20 range, which I think would be really good considering what we saw last season. And perhaps some of the drop-off in, just the vibes are so bad last season, right? So any progression is going to be pretty good. I wonder how they space Jakob Poeltl when Scotty Barnes is playing point guard. Is he the screener? He could be, because, you know, Scotty obviously has the length to pass over defenses and hit Jakob on the roll. Or is he in the dunker spot? I think Pascal Siakam, they're going to have to trust him to be a floor spacer in those situations, unless he's not screening. Just hope that, you know, the catch and shoot percentage is decent. He did shoot pretty well on corner threes this past season.
He did, yeah.
Maybe those continue, or maybe they get a little bit better. Obviously, he's in the lab as he is in every single offseason, so that could be a bit of a challenge, but they'll need Pascal to hit those shots. But Yak and Scotty, how they mesh those two together when Scotty is, whether he's on ball or off ball, how they balance that. And Yak, he's such a natural fluid mover within an offense with you know, what he learned from the Spurs. He finds those gaps, those alleys to make himself available. And he's so good at it. That's what that was so cool about the Fred and Yak pick and roll, is that there was always a lane. And Yak was the one that was creating those. And Fred obviously has some success with Yak on the roll in those cases. But how they.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Use those two is going to be pretty pivotal to what their success is going to look like with the Toronto Raptors and their offense. And also, I mean, damn, like, Yak is a fantastic passer. I'm curious how this looks, right? How can they use him as a passing hub, as a DHO hub? No different than Scotty in some capacity. But getting more of that is going to help their off-ball movement so much.
And even Scotty, you can play him off-ball a little bit with the, you know, cutting the 45 cuts.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you know, so he's not dribbling as much. And that might be a lot of success too. Have him as a cutting role, off ball, you know, usually on the weak side. And then I think it's gonna be very interesting to see how they play Scotty this year. But he's definitely gonna have to take that leap.
Let's get back to the post ups for a second here. You mentioned earlier, and again, he's had success there on the block. His turnaround jumpers, his turnaround hooks. That's where the bully ball comes into play. Finding cutters. Mm-hmm. The touch around the basket really shows. And also, you know, finding that corner three-point shooter, the amount of passes he made to OG and Anobi in the corner, those like one-handed rockets, right? And OG hitting those shots is beautiful stuff. So how do they use that more? How can they make sure that they're getting the best out of Scotty when he's posting up?
I feel the usage rate in the post has to go higher. You know, maybe a couple less ball screen actions and you get him in the post more. It is wear and tear when you're in the post. That banging takes a hit on your body. You know, Scotty's doing a lot. You know, sometimes he's guarding the, you know, biggest guy. Then he has to come down and post up. And that's wear and tear, you know. And I think sometimes they probably get away from that because of that. You know, it's a lot. If you're going 40 minutes a game and you're going in the post, but he's going to have to really clean up his post game. No more, not as much banging. But instead, you know, get into his controlled fades, get into that bump fade. You know, there's different ways around it to finesse when you're inside the post, you know, which I teach a lot of my players is you can post, do 1-2 bump, get into your hook. You don't have to do 4 dribbles. You know, when the game cleans up inside, then things are going to open up. And they saw success last year, like you said. The more you get him inside, and that means it's less dribbling, you know.
Yeah.
You're not shooting threes, which we're saying that if he doesn't come back and he doesn't hit 50% from three, you know, then you're still giving your team a better chance of winning.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how many guys can guard him in the post in the NBA. If you go down there 15, 20 possessions a game. It's tough.
No, for sure. And some of the limitations I would imagine were probably just like where you're going to put other players, because when he was posting up, a lot of it was, you know, he has an empty side, right? Empty corner or something like that. And so you're giving him a shot to go and work and create. From there, you know, this is where the Darko system is going to be really pivotal. Right. Because then you have off-ball cutters, you have 45 cuts, you have baseline cuts, you have Yak flashing from the dunker spot into the paint, and then he finds him. And we haven't even talked about the Pascal Siakam, Scotty Barnes, you know, two-man game, which really has some legs to it. And I think there's reason to believe that more of that can happen, you know. Those passes that Pascal would give Scotty, or even vice versa, from the top of the key and then into the post, and cross screens between OG and Scotty, and you know, the movement of this team is going to be so important to their success, like even less so than this set actions. Obviously, philosophy, the foundation is going to be important, but players making decisions 0.5 seconds faster, a lot faster, moving off the ball, knowing where to go, spacing properly, cutting with pace and precision timing is going to be what make or breaks their success on offense. It's not always going to be, you know, they're not running this set or they're running that set. It's avoiding the stagnant style that we saw. And I think that's going to happen, but how quickly do they get there is my concern or my question, you know?
Yeah, and for sure. And the stagnant part, yeah, sometimes if you go inside too much, it does get stagnant. But you could go into an in-and-out offense where you at least get him a touch inside, and it doesn't always have to, you know, result in Scotty doing a post up, but just getting that touch inside and then going back in and out, kind of getting that flowing offense, you know. But if you give him that touch inside, then you know that there's a threat. It opens up the game a lot.
And then DHOs. So before Yacht got there, they experimented a little bit with him being kind of a screen and rolling hub, a DHO hub. It was similar to what Marc Gasol did when he was with the Raptors, right? And whether it was like being found on the roll or it's whatever it was, right? It was Scotty with the ball in his hands going downhill with momentum, or he's setting a screen, and he's a terrific screener. Got to give him credit for that too. He squares his body really well, makes solid contact, and knows when to release and head towards the basket and makes himself available. So DHO sets that they can run with him. I think that might be kind of the bulk of what their offense looks like. Mm-hmm. I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be big in that DHO and that pitch action. You know, even the pitch action with him, you know, the DHO, are you saying that he's going to be the guy coming off the DHO? Or
I mean, he could be the person getting the ball in a DHO. We'll see how his ball handling improves, how his jump shooting improves, but I think more from what we saw last season, that him being the person in Chicago action who's handing the ball to Gary Trent Jr., and he has the option to, does he want to keep it, does he want to pitch it, does he want, like, what does he want to do? That's where you kind of get the best out of Scotty. And so it's several actions they can use. I mean, go through it. It's a pistol action. It's a delay action where he's on the top of the key and he's handing the ball around. He's finding off-ball screens and off-ball cutters. The pistol action, like, you just go through down the list of these plays that they can run with Scotty. And a lot of it, you know, you could say it's a lot of Warriors kind of style of basketball, and they don't have, you know, a Steph Curry or Klay Thompson, but you can certainly mimic the pace that they play with and the conviction they cut with. I think that's where you kind of get the best out of Scotty, and him going downhill with the ball in his hands, where he can survey the court and he has his height. He can make an array of different kinds of passes, overhand, bounce passes. He can find anyone from any which angle because of his precision and the timing of his plays and the way he reads things. That's going to be really important to his success.
No, for sure. I totally agree with that. That's good. Yeah. No, I like that pistol action and delayed. Those would be really good for him, I think.
So in DHOs, how do you become very good as a DHO hub? I mentioned Jakob Poeltl earlier. He did a lot of this stuff when he was with the San Antonio Spurs. And, you know, after last season, I think everyone kind of felt like, and Nick Nurse would probably say too, that considering, you know, just how frantic the ending of the season was, that they probably didn't get the most out of Yak as a hub, as a playmaking hub. He has experience at it, and I think we want to see more of it. But for Scotty, you know, what could he learn from a person like Jakob Poeltl, or even just like, what does he have to keep in mind as he looks to be, you know, a true playmaking hub, no different than a Sabonis, a Jokic, when they have the ball at the top of the key?
Yeah, just seeing the big thing is just seeing how the defense is playing it. You know, Jokic is really good if they go over on Jamal Murray and the cutter keeps going through, you know, and finding that cutter, having his eyes up, chin up, like you said, keeping his dribble alive, then getting into a Barkley, into a post-up, you know, being patient. I think patience is very important, you know, when you're coming off a DHO, not rushing the situation. If your guy's playing you too high and he's cheating that, you do the fake handoff, get to the rim. So a lot of it's going to become decision-making, and they're going to have to put him in more to get more reps at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the European system, they do a lot of that with their big men.
Yeah.
So the new system will probably benefit him, but he needs more reps for sure.
Yeah. You're excited about what he could do with, I mean, we saw some of the chemistry he had with Gary Trent Jr. on DHO sets, but what can he do with the Grady Dick? Like, that's kind of, I think, what we're pinpointing to the future of what the Raptors could look like, is when you have, you know, someone like a Grady Dick, and you can just, you know, run some Ricky screens. And I mean, you probably know too, man, when you're a shooter, like having that big, that's just like tethered to you, and you just have this like chemistry that's making things a bit faster, and you keep the defense off balance, and then you're opening up opportunities for you to get your shot off. Like, that's so important. And Scotty, with his basketball IQ, there's no reason why he can't do that with the Grady Dick, and also with the Gary Trent Jr. And But while all this is happening, he has his head up. Now he's finding Chris Boucher cutting from the baseline. Like, this is what he's able to do. And the Raptors have to find ways to tap into that as much as possible next season for their success and his success. And then, you know, his scoring ability, it does tend to come through the flow of the offense, at least right now. His isolation game isn't where Pascal Siakam is at, right? Which is okay. But within a flow of an offense, he's able to get edges. And when he has his bully ball style, he can use that in his post-ups and he can get a shot off. And so those are going to be really pivotal for Scotty. But this goes through not just for Scotty, but for everyone, is that I found so often last season, they would run their initial action and it wouldn't work, as many don't. And now what are you doing? Right. And I believe it was Michael Grange. He said that, you know, if you another coach, an assistant coach, he didn't name the coach, but he said on both sides of the ball, if you beat the Raptors, you know, point of attack defense, you're good. But then on the other side, if you just stop their initial action, like it just goes into a stagnant isolation style. And that's going to be on all of them to, okay, so what are we doing next? Right. And it's that European style of basketball. Like I'm loving watching FIBA because everything that these teams FIBA do,
is nice.
You know, they're running like five actions in one possession and they're just flowing to it. Go, 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 go. It's beautiful.
No, it's beautiful. Yeah, for sure. Last year, after their early action, the secondary offense wasn't as strong. But getting a coach from Europe that knows, you know, secondary offense and the flow. Even their early offense wasn't as efficient, like you said. Sure. I think they can get more points in early offense. And going back to Scotty Barnes, that's another area where I think he could excel at, or where he should improve at for sure, is that Draymond, you know, catch and go.
Yeah.
You know, get that rebound and go. That opens up the game for everybody. Imagine he caught that rebound. He's going. Now you have Grady Dick in the corner, you know, or you have that layup. It's game over. That's tough to guard.
Yeah.
You know, how does he get there? I don't know. Maybe he has cut some little weight to get that body flowing quicker. But I think that is going to take his game to the next level as well.
Yeah. Playing with pace is going to be important for him. It shows when he's playing with pace. You know, when he gets the ball, he gets the rebound, he's down the court and there's 19 seconds left on the shot clock or 20 seconds left. And he's moving and like in transition, like we know he's great in transition. You want him, you know, converting on those edges that he gets on the defense. If he sees an alley, you know, it's one-on-one and there's no one at the rim, like go downhill. Right. And he's got to kind of channel that and accept that sometimes he is going to have to score the ball. It's important.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. And like I said, it would be scary if he can become, you know, have decision-making like Draymond, but then score at a high, high level. I don't think there'll be two and two that I can be able to guard him.
No.
That's what Draymond does really well. And, you know, off that, those pitches, the Warriors action, having the ball in his hands at the top of the elbow, it's hard. It's hard to guard that.
100% it is. I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I feel like at some point, Nick Nurse, Masai, they all had the conversation with Scotty and they said, you know, Draymond Green is someone that you could try to model your game after.
For sure.
Offensively, I think Scotty has more upside as an offensive player. Hell, I think Draymond Green has said that he has more upside than me. But, you know, being that anchor on defense, despite, you know, not being a 7-footer, and also, you know, being able to create, being a hub offensively, and then you add in some more scoring touch, hopefully, you know, a better 3-point shot. And that is a hell of a player when it's all said and done. And Draymond had some speed to him, you know, in his heyday, maybe not so much, you know, some of those wild layups, like they happened, but, this is where, you know, Scotty's talent and the advantage he has over a Draymond, in situations like that, like it could really pop for him. And I hope that the Raptors are able to create a system that allows him to be that kind of player. Obviously, you mean, I think we've all wanted to see, you know, what does Draymond look like? Not in the Warriors. No, is it as effective? And probably it's not, but his IQ is elite. His decision-making is elite. The timing is elite.
Very high. No, very high for sure.
Yeah. Anything else on Scotty? Anything else you want to mention?
I feel like, you know, it's a big year for him.
Sure.
You know, not a make or break year in a sense of, you know, are we going to see the next step in his game? You know, if he can lead this team this year, you know, didn't add too many pieces. If he can come out and be a leader and a captain, I think it's going to create longevity for him in the city, you know, as a Raptor, you know, because teams move quick.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't produce and you're not going to be the all-star, then they're going to go looking for another guy. So this is a big, big year for Scottie Barnes in terms of production.
Yeah.
There's no more Scottie Barnes. You go for 15 and we're going to go 41-41. And Scottie Barnes, we need you to go for 20. We need to have impact for 40 minutes. And we need to make the playoffs with you leading the charge.
And we haven't talked about it yet, but I mean, at some point, your role in the NBA does get defined. And he's got a few more years before that happens. I think the Raptors will give him the leash. But, you know, you want to make sure that you are in the role that you want to be in, that you believe you're in. Because once once you kind of miss the window, now all of a sudden you are a secondary option, or you're a third option, or you're, you know, a bench big, or whatever the case is, right? And he has to avoid that, and he has to define himself as a number one option or the Draymond Green type. But it's time to, like, at some point, I mean, you want him to define what he is, but he's also kind of a unicorn. He's so unique as a player. So that's going to be kind of his challenge. And I'm assuming that the Raptors, you know, with some of the changes that have happened with the roster, and obviously how things go this season, that they're going to give him the rope to find himself in the NBA, what he's going to be.
No, for sure. How long do you think they give him?
That's a good question. I think this season will teach us a lot. If there's progression, if we walk away from this season and we're like, we see it now, then you buy another year, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not 100%. Seeing it, then yeah, it's going to look a little bit different. But I mean, it's a big year for the franchise overall, man. It's a huge year. After last season, not many saw that coming, right? Maybe we should have. Maybe it was all on us. But the pressure is sort of off. I mean, I was looking at the ESPN, their projected rankings for the Eastern Conference, and the Raptors, they're not even in the top 10 for their rankings. Wow. Yeah. And public perception isn't everything, but that's kind of where they are right now. You know, they lost Fred. They're unsure where Pascal Siakam is going to be going. Is he going to be with the team? So I understand why they were put there. But for the franchise, it's time to define yourself and what you're going to be again. So this was great, man. This was really cool. Thank you so much.
No, no worries. No worries.
Everyone.
Fun.
Hell yeah. We'll have some Canada basketball coverage coming up on the way. I'm excited to watch that. I'm sure you are too, Harp. Mm-hmm. Right? Predictions?
Yeah,
what do you think?
Still got USA.
Yeah.
Winning it, but I think Canada will have a good showing. They have a big game though. The first game is against France, right?
Yes, it is. So
I think that's gonna be a I feel like that's like the elimination game for them. If they win that, then I think they'll have a big impact the whole way through.
We'll learn a lot about the team off of that game. So as a reminder, if you're listening right now, you know, before the tournament starts, is that they have to finish top two in the Americas to qualify for the Olympics. Whether they medal or not isn't that big of a deal. USA probably has one of those spots kind of locked in, but will Canada finish better than the Dominican? And then Brazil, that's where the question is. And their path is hard, right? We're talking Spain, we're talking France, we're talking Brazil, obviously, and they have to get through. But we'll see what happens. Everyone, lots of fun. Season is around the corner. But for now, let's enjoy some Canada basketball. Take it easy.